You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell. And we are so fired up this year for the NFL Draft.
Live from the D.
You can just say Detroit.
That's what I said.
And you said the D.
Detroit!
Am I being punked?
The D.
I tell you what, it's right. Extremely well done. Eminem is going to kick off the festivities on Thursday night, and no one will be watching more eagerly than Tim Lugley.
Right.
You have to sneak away from the TV and not watch the basketball.
No, I will not sneak away. Unabashedly, I'll be watching that. Believe me.
Pick number two.
Four picks in the top 100, Greeny. Don't leave that part out.
Number two, Commander Tim, the quarterback the Washington takes will be?
Jaden Daniels. It sounds like, it feels like. Definitely feeling that way.
He's excited. Meanwhile, we're coming off what might have been the best night the NBA has given us in a decade. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. If you're a basketball fan, last night was perfection. Let's start in the late game last night. Lakers, Nuggets. Game two. Lakers led by as many as 20. But here comes Jokic and Denver late in the fourth.
Yeah, choosing to stay with three-point shooters. You're going to let him operate one-on-one with as many dribbles as he wants. There's just no answer for that kind of footwork, strength, and skill.
Jokic had 27, 20, and 10. Meanwhile, LeBron James, brilliant all night, Jay.
I mean, 39 years old, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, doing everything he can do to try to close out a win on the road.
Now, Lakers have a three-point lead. Legler, you say this play by Aaron Gordon is the biggest play of the game.
Yeah, look, it's a 50-50 ball. He's just a little bit taller, stronger than Austin Reeves, comes up with that loose ball, finds Michael Porter Jr., who steps in to a very difficult shot.
That ties the game. LeBron's got that great look to untie it, but it doesn't go. And so with 13 seconds left, are the Nuggets going to call a timeout? No, they're not. Jamal Murray, take it away. Kevin Harlan on TNT.
Murray makes a move.
What an unbelievable finish last night. It's Jamal Murray's first career game-winning buzzer beater. The Nuggets take a 2-0 lead. And for AD and LeBron, desolation.
Can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot. Of course, it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
It's easy to understand how those guys are devastated. That is an excruciating loss. I mean, Anthony Davis, who played brilliantly, falling into the Nugget bench as that shot goes in for Jamal Murray. That's got to be just awful. And as we discussed earlier, for those of us just joining us here at the top of a new hour, the Lakers did everything we said they needed to do last night. They got way out in front. They got a big performance from D'Angelo Russell. Anthony Davis was 32 points. He was active and he was involved. LeBron James was brilliant. And they still couldn't find a way to get the win.
The only thing missing was closing jump shots because they missed some. Rui Hachimura missed a good one, Austin Reeves, and then, of course, LeBron with that wide open look. You're not going to fault guys for missing shots, but against a team as good as Denver, that's your margin for error.
So small. Yeah.
You have to capitalize on those moments. When they didn't, you're now putting the ball in the hands of a team that, for me, represents the greatest certainty there is in the league in late game in terms of, you know, this is going to be a quality possession. And Jamal Murray made sure that he made the shot that the Lakers were unfortunately unable to.
to that point, 26 clutch victories this season for the Nuggets. They're the second most behind the Bulls. Do what you want with the Bulls having that many games. But this is a team that's very comfortable when ball games get tight. For as good as the Lakers have been as of late, the Nuggets, they do what they do.
Well, they're a championship team. They're the best team in the league. They have the best player in the league. So all those things, and I said that decidedly, despite the fact that they didn't have the best record. And Jay, well, let's talk about the 20-point lead that didn't last. Yeah. At the end of the day, the Lakers don't just lose that game in the final 13 seconds. They lose that game because they have a 20-point lead in the third quarter. How did it get away?
Well, the biggest headline for me, Greeny, was the fact that 20-point lead in the third quarter with an offense that was working with LeBron James and AD and pick and roll. There are no excuses. We can sit up here all day long and talk about missed calls in the third quarter. We could talk about defensive adjustments by Darvin Ham that he should have made. We could talk about whether they should have double-teamed Jokic down at the bottom, you know, on the block in the fourth quarter late. A 20-point lead on the road as an underdog in a must-win scenario, you got to win that game. That is flat, plain, and simple for me. That's easy.
So if you have to pick one reason, I'm asking you to put your finger on one reason they didn't. What is it?
I think they ran out of steam. I think it's a team that's with LeBron James at 39 years old with the physicality, like I said in the first hour. The fact that the last 9-10 possessions after every main bucket, they pushed the tempo of the game. They eventually got into the legs of the Lakers. And you saw that spell in the third quarter when LeBron James went dry. Anthony Davis didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. It comes down to the fact that their two most physically imposing players were worn down when you needed them the most.
I agree. And look, here's the deal. The Denver Nuggets went to something. And they were going to see how Lakers were going to play it. And they decided to go ahead and roll the dice while Jokic just erased this deficit, basically single-handedly in the post with what he was doing. And I understand the mentality of not wanting to give up three-point shots, like wide-open looks to role players or auxiliary players. I get that. I know for me, as a head coach, I am not letting one guy cook me over and over and over. I just can't live with that. He was getting whatever he wanted. At some point, during a timeout, there has to be a changeup where you say, we're going to run at him on this possession. Let's see what happens. Maybe we can rotate out of it and force a tough contested three.
It was a late night game. So for those of you on the East Coast who maybe didn't see it, what they're talking about is that they were single covering Jokic pretty much the entire second half. And as great a player as Anthony Davis is, and he had a magnificent night in most ways last night, it did seem like he got worn down. He had 32 points in the first 32 minutes. Monica, none after that, and Jokic did have his way.
That's the nature of the beast, though. Like, you're not going to get a win over the Denver Nuggets without exerting all of your energy, right? And I don't disagree with these guys that it would have been nice to see something different. I just think this conversation is more about the Nuggets than it is about the Lakers. We look across the league. I've been witness to two in front of the Knicks. 20 points mean nothing in the league across the league this season. And then you're talking about the defending champs, that really means even less. And so I agree, there could have been some wrinkles thrown at this team defensively, but ultimately to me, this is more about the Nuggets than the Lakers.
Well, I think it comes down to also, I mean, let's just be honest about it. Like, it's about matchups and it's about details. So yes, 20-point leads can be erased quickly, but it's some of those details and the execution of those details down the stretch, which is you're always going to question about the Lakers. It's about, you know, it's not about LeBron and AD. They gave you magnificent games last night. It's about the cast of characters outside of those individuals and the ability to execute those details in the game plan.
I guess my where we're maybe missing each other a little bit, Jay, is you can play a perfect ball game. I just think Denver has enough discipline to match said ball game.
I agree with you.
Look, they're the best team for a reason.
Right.
They're defending champs for a reason. Now, you heard LeBron James talking about the officiating afterwards. And we can show you, Cindy, if you have the tweet from D'Angelo Russell, because he's the one who got hit in the face, and they overturned it. The replay center winds up overturning the call, and D'Angelo Russell made no secret of his frustration at 1:47 a.m. Eastern time. He tweeted, that's a foul. We all saw it on national television. Now, when you have a 20-point lead and you wind up losing on a play that is officiated incorrectly in the third quarter, very hard for me to say this decides the game. Clearly it doesn't. But Legler, what are they doing? How in the world is this, in what universe is this not a foul?
I'm with you. And I said the same thing about the Lowry DiVincenzo play in the Sixers game. I don't understand what, listen, the problem with this is for replay is, if by the letter of the law, it's a foul. So when you look at the replay and there's contact to someone's face on an attempted layup, right, that is a foul. I don't know how you are not going to go in that direction. That's what LeBron's saying. The problem with LeBron's comments are had nothing to do with the fourth quarter comeback. You're right. And this is really about what's going on in the future, right? He's trying to plant that seed for now going forward in the series. The problem is It's not like overall we thought the Lakers, right, last night got the short end of the stick in terms of the officiating. Nobody really feels that. He's taking one specific call in the third quarter, and the bottom line is no one really cares at that point when those comments are made after the game.
That tweet is embarrassing. It's like, and maybe I'm from the old school, that there are no excuses, no mistakes. Yeah. I knew that when we were going into opposing gyms, we weren't going to get calls. It's certain things, yeah. And it's not like that happened.
But they made the call, Jay. They blew the whistle. They overturned it in the replay center. It didn't happen in Denver. Like, I don't understand what they have a replay for. Look, you played in a much more physical era.
Arguing two different things.
You played in a – right? And that was a foul you played.
But, Greeny, I think we're talking about, is it a foul? Yes, I understand it's a foul. But, like, is it going to affect the overall outcome of the game? Did that happen in the last 20 seconds of the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
No, it happened in the third quarter.
Oh, I see.
The two plays in the Philly game, they had bearing on the outcome of the game.
Yes, right.
That's different.
Right, the turnover, I couldn't believe they overruled that one when Lowry hit DiVincenzo on the back and dislodged that ball. Right, they saw it, they knocked the ball loose first. To me, it looked like simultaneous when he's hitting him in the shoulder. And then the play with Maxey, like that's not a play that ultimately involved a review. But clearly we're all watching that, and he got held and bumped. Two different things happened. Ball comes out. Bottom line is, if this is how it's going to be officiated, be stronger with the basketball, stay on your feet.
Can't
let the ball.
That's tough to hear.
In what was one of the best NBA nights we've seen in a really long time, that was the late game. We'll get to the early one coming up next, and Jay has promised to explain to you exactly what happened during the mayhem at Madison Square Garden. The officiating, there were some questions, but Jay Will is going to point to the exact moment where the Sixers blew the game and maybe the series. Plus, we are 2 days and counting from finding out where J.J. McCarthy is going to be drafted. Dan Orlovsky will show you why this quarterback deserves more credit than he's getting. All that is on the way. Stay with us. Get up on ESPN.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. An unbelievable finish. The mayhem at Madison Square Garden. And we're going to take you right to the finish. Joel Embiid was brilliant all night long. So was Tyrese Maxey. 40 seconds left. The Knicks were down by 5. The hustle play, Monica McNutt.
I mean, this is a team that has a tremendous level of grit. This three, though, Greeny, the first and only three that Jalen Brunson hit.
He gets it to fall, and then everything goes nuts. Mike Green.
Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a 1-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
The oh-so-rare double bang from Mike Breen as the Knicks erase a five-point deficit just like that. DiVincenzo knocks it down, but it wasn't over. Ensuing Sixers possession. How about the defense from Hartenstein that you loved, Monica?
Isaiah Hartenstein had a tremendous game, being willing to defend Joel Embiid with physicality. The timing here? Give me that. Showing all the heart.
Maxey was sensational last night with 35 points, but the defense was big there. The Knicks would make foul shots. Joel Embiid, one final chance. The three, and it's no good. 35 from Maxey, 34 from Embiid, but the Knicks find a way to win. Joel, talk to me.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But with a better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
What a night. And I'll remind everyone, Monica does the radio for the Knicks, so she was there, obviously, and knows that team as well as anybody does. We're going to get to that crazy final sequence, as Jay promised, in a moment. But let's start with what we just heard Joel say. He said, we're the better team. We're going to find a way to win. Legler, is he right?
Well, if he's 100% healthy, I picked that team to go to the conference final. So, yes, I do think that's the better team. The problem is he's not 100% healthy, and they did not make the plays they needed to make in that situation. To say we should be up 2-0 is kind of a strange thing to say, given how that played out, because they had multiple opportunities to win the game. They did not. They were not very smart in their execution. They were not physical enough, and they did not ultimately come up with two different, or three really, if you count Hartenstein's rebound, three different loose balls, any one of which goes their way, they win the game.
I'm really worried about Joel Embiid. For the fact, about his overall health and his career, the fact seeing him out there on the court, there were times that I felt as a fan of the game that I wanted to take him off the court because I wanted to make sure that he was going to be okay for the long-term value of his career. But he's wrong. With him not being healthy, they're not the better team. They're the more talented team, but the better team is the team that executes the details, and that's where the Knicks live constantly.
Monica, you've been saying it. You watch them play the Knicks that last stretch of their season in particular. They just find ways to win games that frequently feel like they should not.
We had Isaiah Hartenstein in the postgame interview for the radio broadcast last night, and I asked him, what's going through your mind? And he's like, I don't know how many teams would have actually believed that they were going to win that basketball game. But he said it. We continue to find a way. And look, the emergence of Hartenstein is probably a big credit to Mitchell Robinson's injury. OG Anunoby goes down, Julius Randle. So this team is comfortable having to figure it out and piece it together. They are definitely more powerful as the sum of their parts, even though people don't look at their roster compared to the Sixers.
That said, this game comes down to that crazy final sequence. The Sixers have a five-point lead in the final 30 seconds or so. The Knicks find a way to make a three, and then the crazy inbounds play. Jay is going to show you exactly what went wrong. But first, let's hear how Nick Nurse, the coach of the Sixers, thought it happened.
Obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention, but I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Yes, you do need to run down the floor.
Have you ever seen Eric Spoelstra in that situation? Eric Spoelstra's out in the huddle, basically, with that scrums going on. That's really what you have to do. I thought it was a lukewarm attempt at that timeout on a part of Nick.
Go, guys, show us. Water.
Here we go. Yeah, so
we're going to get one-to-one play for legs, and I'm going to show you the play that was
sort of a collaborative effort here, and how this anatomy of a loss. So here it goes. This is the first play. This is Brunson when he splits this trap right here, and boom, we go down. Ball is on the floor. It's basically a 50-50 situation. The problem is, take a look at now the rest of these players. There's two Sixers. There's two Knicks. Watch how much quicker the Knicks are to the basketball to come up with this loose ball. This is nothing but effort. DiVincenzo picks it up. It leads to this sequence of events. Obviously, you get the Kawhi Leonard bounce special here against Philly.
So the ball
goes. And then, Jay,
down.
I'm going to stop it right here.
Boom. Okay. Now, look. Everybody, look here. 18-year veteran rushes to take the ball out. Now, as soon as he touches the ball, the count begins, the five count. Look at the players here. You have all four players under the free throw line, right? And you have Tyrese Maxey, who you're going to see is looking at the shot clock, looking at the time and situation there. And by the way, the count has started. What happens in this? Back up for 1 second. The ball goes in from the side. This is what you do as a guard.
You just let it. You let it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give it a beat. Okay. Where's everybody at? This guy catches the ball, goes in. His back is to the play. He doesn't even see where anybody is on the court. You can't register the court that way. So just from a pure basketball point guard perspective, let the ball bounce, let your team settle in, and then actually find so everybody can provide the right spacing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always come down to one play, but legs, this is a mind-boggling play for me, a guy who's been in the league for 18 years to try to rush the ball out of bounds this quickly.
Right here, he's looking. He sees this is a mess. This is a traffic jam, right?
Yes.
So, okay, you try to get it out quick. You try to make the vet move. You better be certain at this point that that ball can get in quickly to someone, by the way, that you know wants the basketball.
Yeah.
But watch what happens. All three Sixers, you start walking away because you think Maxie's going to break to the basketball. Right here, Kyle Lowry, about right here, he has to see. This is not setting up or shaping up. By the way, by this point, the count's at about 3 seconds. In your head,
boom,
there's got to be a timeout.
No and look, spacing. Look at
and
that.
By the way, one more thing. Nick Nurse, he's talking about
this really
timeout
bad.
He wanted. This is a lukewarm attempt. He's watching the play. He doesn't actually get demonstrative about wanting that timeout until the ball is loose. And by then, it's too late. You see right here, still, he doesn't know, do I want a timeout now? Kind of half-hearted. Now he wants it. The ball's already in the hands of the Knicks, and it ends up with this. And Hartenstein, the offensive rebound.
I'm just going to tell y'all, these are like days like today, as a former PG,
yeah.
I dread these type of tape sessions because you're going to watch the last 15 seconds of the game, and the way you executed that, if that just takes a moment to take a beat and you actually have the right spacing, that game is over. That game is over. You get the ball in bounds. I mean, at least it puts you in control of it to be strong with the rock because there's spacing on the
That's
court.
That's an extraordinary description of all the things that happened at the end there. Again, Monica, you were describing it live on radio. How did you see it, particularly Nurse trying to get that timeout called?
I didn't see Nurse trying to get the timeout called. That's not where my mind was. I was looking at that baseline. And what I will say is you see in the video, he turns to the official that's behind the half court line. At that point, I'm with legs. The ball was loose at that point. By the time I realized he's trying to call the timeout, it's anybody's ball. And to me, this is in the garden, home court advantage. Josh Hart has been incredible through these playoffs. You could argue that they're not up 2-0 without his performances, going to the three-point line, knocking down shots in that huge
Let play. Me say two more things. First, for all of you who are thinking it, yes, that is Stephen A. Smith sitting right behind Nick Nurse. It's distracting everybody. Yes, let me, because everyone at home is like, wait, is that Stephen?
Yes,
that's Stephen A. sitting next to Mark Shapiro. Now, next, yeah. And Mark watches every morning. Good morning, Mark.
Love
now,
Mark.
Next. Here's the bigger question, or another question. Nick Nurse tries to call a timeout, doesn't get it. Does Tyrese Maxey get fouled two or three times in that sequence and it's not called?
All right, listen, let's go full disclosure. Let's rewind it. Okay, so first, and people are pointing this out, and technically, letter of law to right, Tyrese Maxey absolutely gives a shove. Dead in Josh Hart's yes. chest. Right off the bat, he shoves him to create space. Easily could have been called. You'll see Maxey come running in here, and he's going to give a shove to Josh Hart. First thing he does when he breaks in, right there. He shoves him to get him off of. So if you want, you can call that now. Is his jersey being held? Absolutely. And it prevents him from breaking totally free to the corner. It impacted him. Then he definitely gets bumped by Josh Hart as he catches the ball and spins out. My problem with Maxey is right before that, the ball is on the ground. He had an opportunity to sort of put it off toward the right side of his body, toward the sideline. And then look up at the official. He tries to, like, roll the ball through Josh Hart's legs, it almost looks like. The ball's everything in that situation. The young player got to learn.
Yes, if you go tape by tape, frame by frame, sure, there's fouls in there. But I will say the tenor and the temperature of that game, earlier in the ball game, a foul got reversed, or it was not upheld against Kyle Lowry for a very physical play. And so it just... You can't look for that down the stretch.
I hear you. I just think Tyrese Maxey is a special, special player.
Definitely.
But there are times when you watch his game, he plays at 1,000 miles per hour.
So fast.
And sometimes in that situation, it's here, it's slow, strong.
Yep.
It's not fast, frantic. And even that last play, he tries to beat you to the rim. I know he scored multiple times. If he just stopped on a dime and pulled up, there are little things about poise and changing of speeds that you're going to watch Tyrese Maxey get better at over time.
An unbelievable finish last night at the Garden. And we'll have more on it as we go. We'll also have more on this. Another fabulous finish that left LeBron fuming. We will get into that game. Stephen A. will hopefully join us. And wait a minute, fellas, we're not done with you yet. Hembo is ready to go for both of you. Sneaky Hembo, who are the only two active players with multiple game-winning buzzer beaters in the playoffs?
I got that.
The answer's next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. Wake up call, Jamal Murray.
He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray got it to Hard. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number 2. 101 to 99 is the final. And the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
The Lakers can take that L on the way out.
I feel a little sorry for Anthony Davis, like falls into the Nuggets bench. That's a brutal way for it to end. But one way or another, for Murray, it's his first career game-winning buzzer beater. So here we go from Sneaky Hembo. There are 2 active players who have multiple game-winning buzzer beaters in the playoffs. Can the 3 of you name them?
I feel like one is LeBron James.
Okay.
I feel like it's Luka and DeMar DeRozan.
What about Jimmy Butler?
Game winning?
Game winning. I think DeMar DeRozan. Buzzer beaters.
We agree on LeBron, one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, we agree on LeBron.
We agree on LeBron.
I'm gonna say Luka.
Anybody else?
Say Luka.
I'm gonna go DeMar.
Jimmy Butler.
I think DeMar's sneaky.
Way to hedge your bet here, guys. Yep.
What's that?
Dame!
Oh, Graziano had his hand up. But Graziano,
get it?
Go ahead. Yeah. Did Graziano have it? You put the answers up there, Cindy. Go ahead. Graziano, you would have got it right?
I know Dame.
Dame. He got it right.
Way to go, Gross.
Good job, Gross.
Okay.
You know that, but you can't tell me who the Commanders are picking.
Okay. Everyone stay where you are. We will be all over the hoops as the morning continues. But we do want to make sure we get some draft in for you this morning because it is 2 days away. Mike Tannenbaum, our general manager, is coming in hot with a series of mic drops. Mike T, the first one in Dallas. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, drafting a quarterback at 24 actually makes sense long-term, Greeny. And here's why. Dak Prescott's going to sign a massive extension, $55, $60 million a year. The 24th pick will be roughly $3.3 million a year. So if it's, let's say, Michael Penix or Bo Nix, is Dak Prescott really $52 million a year better? Now, look, that's going to hurt them short term. They need a left tackle. They need a running back, amongst others. But in their long-term interest, get some leverage on Dak Prescott for the future.
Orlovsky, does this make any sense at all to you?
Absolutely not. And if the Cowboys do this, I'm going to laugh all first round. If they were going to do this, they should have traded Dak Prescott. The Cowboys have 3 picks in the top 170 of the NFL draft. If they take a quarterback in the first round, they are waving the white flag that not only this season they're basically cashing out on, but the era of Dak Prescott and this Super Bowl contending football team, they are cashing out on. This makes absolutely no sense to me. I love Mike T, but they have 3 picks in the top 70. They need a left tackle, they need a center, they need a back, a D-tackle, inside linebacker.
I'm with you. I love you too, Mike T. I will try and go with you anywhere I can, but I can't go on this one. Let's try another mic drop. Let's try the Rams. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, they should draft Michael Penix to replace Matt Stafford long term. They haven't had a first round pick since 2016. Look, we all know about the four season-ending injuries, shoulder and knee, Greeny. But if we just worked out these six quarterbacks in the first round that may go, he has the best ability, and he's a perfect replacement for Matthew Stafford. Let him sit for a year. Matthew Stafford has no guaranteed money after this season.
Orlovsky, you don't look like you like that one either.
The Rams are a legit Super Bowl contender. I mean, before Aaron Donald retired, I would have picked them as the team to beat in the NFC along with San Francisco. They are 24-month window right now with Stafford and Sean McVay to go realistically win a Super Bowl. They need edge help. They need interior defensive line help. They could probably use a wide receiver. Matthew Stafford was absolutely lights out last year. This is not the time for them to draft a quarterback. Love Michael Penix. I just think the Rams are legit with the Super Bowl window.
Groz, let me focus on Penix for a moment with you. How much does the league love him? Do you expect him to hear his name called on Thursday or Friday night?
Thursday is my sense of it. What I've heard the last couple of days, and you can't always trust everything you're hearing this week, but what I've heard the last couple days makes me think that if the Rams wanted Penix, they might have to trade up to get him. I think we're watching the Rams as a potential trade-up team, but most people feel like it's probably for a defensive stud that they're going to want. I don't see Penix getting to 19 unless a lot of people are making a lot of stuff up, which, again, does happen.
That would be something, because a lot of the mocks do have him falling at around 2. You have him going closer to the middle of round 1. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Mike T, one more mic drop. Talk to me about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, Vikings trade up to number 5 and the Chargers for J.J. McCarthy. So twice in 1 week, Jim Harbaugh gets a Super Bowl ring, and then Jim Harbaugh gets a massive haul for his quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. This assumes that Arizona stays at 4 and takes Marvin Harrison. If that happens, again, Minnesota is desperate for a quarterback, 11-23, and probably something else to go up to number 5 to go get J.J. McCarthy.
And maybe they have to go up to 4 one way or another. McCarthy is the topic, and Dan Orlovsky, you've got the tape. He is, I don't want to use the word polarizing, that's saying something about the kid that's not really fair, but he is a person upon whom there are a variety of opinions. Show me what you see.
My biggest gripe in this whole process is that we've talked about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and their physical talents, and we lessen J.J. McCarthy. Like, he's not physically talented, elite physically talented. This throw up top displays that. This is a running back running a go route, okay? A tailback that's hard to throw to. J.J.'s got to go 1-2-3 hitch and deliver this football downfield. Throwing to a wide receiver that he's even on a corner or a defensive back is accustomed to a quarterback. Doing it to a tailback is not. That's odd and difficult for a quarterback. He's going to throw this football just from about the 43-yard line from the right hash all the way to the left hash and in perfect stride to a tailback. Now, I know Donovan Edwards is a little bit more of a dual threat type of back and a pass-catching threat. My point is this, Greeny. We have done everything we can, and part of our job is to find out, hey, if these guys fail, why? But we've placed some other quarterbacks up into this top tier of physical talent, and we've taken J.J. McCarthy and said, well, since he's, you know, really good and accurate and throws in rhythm and timing and played behind a good run-blocking offensive line and Jim Harbaugh, he can't be that physically talented. I said this yesterday. He was the number 5 ranked quarterback coming out of high school. His physical talent is every bit as much as those other guys that we're talking about. And I think that we need to place him into that category of not just an average talent, but more of an elite physical guy that has developed into an elite elite in-game quarterback.
And a prospect that will hear his name called early on Thursday night. Graziano, how early? Yesterday you told me, and again, these things are fluid, and as you pointed out, everyone is lying to everyone. But Mike T just had them trading up to 5. To get him. Do you expect one of the 4 quarterbacks still to be available at 5?
I think so. Look, we've never seen quarterbacks go 1-2-3-4. So that's kind of a I'll believe it when I see it situation. And we talked on yesterday's show about how hard these trades are to make to get from the teens into the top 5. So look, could New England take McCarthy and then the Giants go from 6-4 to take May? Yeah, but that's not the sense I'm getting in terms of likelihood. If New England trades out, is somebody coming up for McCarthy? I think it's more likely they're coming up for May. So, yes, this is it certainly makes a lot more sense than Mike's Dak Prescott take, but that's not hard.
Let's not go back to that. Orlovsky, help me with this. If you're stacking the board right now, Stack them. Stack the six quarterbacks, the six that we expect certainly to go within the first two rounds. In what order would, if you needed a quarterback, in what order would you? You've told me Jaden Daniels one.
Yep, Jaden Daniels one. I would go Caleb Williams two. I'd still probably go Drake May three, J.J. McCarthy four, Michael Penix five, and Bo Nix six. But there's two asterisks attached to that. If you were going to tell me that Drake May was going to sit for at least a year or two, I would take him three. Mm. If you told me that I'm going to rush him onto the field, I would probably take him fourth. And my medical staff has to clear Michael Penix. So there's some asterisk attached to that. Part of that is this, Greeny. Mike T could speak to it better than I can. We're all chasing Patrick. Like, that's part of the problem here. Everybody wants their next Patrick. Patrick was a little bit of a dice roll because he had some flaws into his game, and there was risk attached to it. These, like a J.J. McCarthy, there's not a ton of risk in my opinion. A Jaden Daniels, there's not a ton of risk in my opinion. I don't know if they're going to be Patrick, and I think Mike T, you could speak to it, is like, there's got to be a little bit of a risk assessment with some of these picks. It's like, maybe they're not going to be the greatest quarterback ever in the history of the world. But I also think that we're going to get a really, really, really good player that we can win a ton of games at a minimum with.
Mike T, final word.
Yeah, Greeny, I think the tape sets the floor, the character sets the ceiling, and we're going to look back at 2024 and at least five of these quarterbacks. I'm not sure about Bo Nix, but those other five, to me, have the talent and the character. I think they're all going to be outstanding, and I think we're going to look back. They may not all be Patrick, but I think they're going to be B-plus or better, and I think that's why we're going to see four go in the top five.
And as usual, mostly this will be determined by the circumstances into which they are
Correct.
Placed. Patrick didn't become Patrick in a vacuum. You want to get him? Go get Andy Reid. Meanwhile, the draft is coming up. It's in Detroit. It's Thursday. It's Friday. It's Saturday. We've got every pick once again on ESPN with all the usual expert analysis. We also will have the draft for you on NFL Network and on ABC, where the coverage will focus on the prospect's journey to the draft. Coming up, mayhem at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are in control, but can Joel Embiid still lead Philly to a series win? We're back to one of the best NBA nights ever. Next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, this morning's wake-up call courtesy of Mike Breen.
Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Mike Breen with the call, and the man who was sitting about 2 feet from the action. We pointed it out repeatedly. Yes, it's distracting. That was Stephen A. right behind Nick Nurse. Look how fired up he is. Okay. So these guys did a great job on that final sequence earlier.
Yes.
You were sitting a foot away from it. Tell us exactly what you saw.
I saw Tyrese Maxey get mugged, if I'm being totally honest. He got fouled at least two or three times. There's no reason on earth why that call shouldn't have been made. It wasn't made. Unfortunately for the Sixers, if you're a New York Knicks fan, it's not unfortunate. Dante DiVincenzo got another opportunity. He took advantage of it. And the New York Knicks are up 2-0 in this Eastern Conference Finals first round series. It's a beautiful, beautiful evening, to say the least. Epic game.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. After the game, Joel Embiid said, we're the better team. We're still going to win. What do you think?
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm very, very sorry. But I got to be, in all seriousness, guys, I got to tell you, I'm incredibly, just sitting that close to the action, I'm incredibly sad for Joel Embiid. I really am. His knee is wrapped up. Like, you see these guys with these ice bags on their knee after the games? That's how his knee was wrapped up during the game while he was on the court. The dude is on one leg and dropping 35, and you just find yourself imagining, my God, with Maxey looking the way that he's looking, clearly being the better of the two-point guards. Jalen Brunson's an MVP candidate, top five MVP candidate as far as I'm concerned. But he has not been the best point guard in this series. It has been Tyrese Maxey, okay? And when you look at the way Tyrese Maxey is playing, if Joel Embiid were healthy, wow, you do find yourself saying, my Lord, what would you be able to do with him? And for him to be out on that court with one leg, walking by, I mean, I'm watching him the whole game walk by me time and time again. Every time he walked by, his face was cringing. He was in just so much pain.
And that's the point. He walked by because he can't run. I agree with you. It's sad to watch.
I'm just going to say, I feel horrible for him too because he's a special talent.
Yep.
How many times are we going to sit up here and say, if Joel Embiid were healthy?
True.
It's a very common theme, and it's a tough conversation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make people think that you hate Joel Embiid.
Right.
It's similar to Kawhi. It's little things where it's like, when is that time going to
happen? But I don't believe they're the better team, though. And the reason why I don't believe they're the better team is because not enough dudes for them step up when it counts most. And that's the problem. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey is one thing. Should Tobias Harris be doing more? Should Reed be doing more? Should other guys be doing more? The answer is yes, and they haven't been, and that plays a role too.
To that end, though, because Legs and I were talking about this earlier. I'm like, all right, Philly's going home. Their role player is going to step up, right?
Maybe not. Yeah. No, that's more guys on the Knicks are making winning plays, winning contributions when it's tight. You had some guys in the Sixers that really not contribute at all offensively. This was a two-man show. To your point, man, I feel so sick for Embiid for this reason. He finally has that co-star that runs to the light, embraces the stage. It's obvious. Tyrese Maxey has a confidence level that's unflappable. And he is so special for Embiid to still not be 100% when he finally has that guy that he knows he's going to count on to step up in big moments because he's had some guys shrink in that spot in the past. That's why I feel so bad for Embiid. I think he finally has that dude, and yet he's out there at 70%.
One other thing I want to ask you about in that moment. We played the sound. Nick Nurse says he was trying to call a timeout.
Yes.
Watched it over and over and over again. You were there.
You're going to collapse in your chair with laughter.
Okay.
You know why they didn't see the timeout? My man Mark Shapiro, the former boss here, was blocking the referee's view.
He's standing up. I do see him.
He was in the way. He was in the way. He couldn't see him.
No.
He called him a timeout from the angle. Because he's going crazy and all this stuff and blocking the view. That's what everybody's teasing him about. But I'm telling you this
that's
right
him.
Now.
That's him. To be clear,
there
that's him standing directly
there we
next
go.
To
us. That's right. Mark Shapiro, the former boss here at ESPN.
Yeah.
That's who I was at the game with courtside last night. That's my man. And he was blocking the view, so I'm sorry they didn't see him. It's unfortunate, but it happened.
But how demonstrative,
I say,
to be
Jay
clear.
Jay, do the demonstration.
Because
Jay got to do the demonstration. I mean,
yeah, that's him standing right there, literally over the shoulder.
I actually saw Stephen A. reach in to get a piece of Maxey, too.
It looked like that. I was like that right
there. These guys said Nurse should have been more demonstrative. Run out onto the floor.
Yes, but what happened is
How loud was he?
It was electric.
How loud was he trying to get a
timeout? He was trying to get it, but here's the problem. When he was calling the timeout, remember, they get the steal.
Yep.
And then you kick it, and then you kick it to DiVincenzo. So he's like, but he's looking. And then he's looking again. And, no, he got distracted by the action. He was trying to call a timeout. But in the same breath, he was looking at the play as well. And that's what
distracted
him.
That's why I go back to spacing, though. When you have four of the five players below the free throw line and your guard is extended on your side of the floor, you got to recognize that in that moment and say, okay, I got to call that timeout before before the ball was inbound.
By the time he got demonstrative trying to get it, the ball was loose. It was lodged. He's not getting it at that point. That's why I said it was lukewarm at first, because he was watching the play himself, to your point. Right. You've got to run toward either official, the half-court official or the baseline official, and he didn't really
especially in that environment, because the garden is electric, and referees can get caught up in the action, because at that particular moment in time, you want the players to decide. You don't want anything else to infiltrate the proceedings, per se, and that's something that you're watching out for. But Tyrese Maxey got mugged. I have to admit it. He did get mugged, and there should have been a foul call. And the fact that there was no foul call should be problematic.
This was a physical ball game. I got you, though. But late game situations, contrast to the other game we saw last night, Denver knew exactly what they was doing in the late game.
Let me get to that here. I have Stephen A. for just another moment. Obviously, they're 8 minutes away from
the way,
first take.
I really, really do look good.
You're popping.
Yes, you do. There's a
glow about you.
If I should say that myself, it really is nice.
You want to guarantee you get flowers. Send them to yourself.
Yeah, right. We were all thinking it, so I'm glad that you said it.
Were we?
But let's the other game. The Lakers. I mean, it was another. I mean, it was as good a night.
We'll send it to myself.
You actually sent a note saying that this might have been the best NBA doubleheader that you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on the note that you sent, and there's no way to disagree. Give us your quick overall take on Nuggets Lakers. A little taste of what you will have in 8 minutes.
Listen, the Lakers had a 20-point lead. They blew it. Denver came back, took it from them, but it was still an electric atmosphere in Denver. Anthony Davis has shown up. LeBron James has showed up. Last night, D'Angelo Russell showed up. And Denver still said, we got y'all. And that winning shot, I mean, Dan, what can you say about Jamal Murray? He's something special. Remember, he averaged 32 a game against them in the Western Conference Finals last year. Mm-hmm. He was the star of the Western Conference Finals last year. The brother's big time, Jamal Murray. And when him and Jokic are flowing together, they're virtually unbeatable. And last night, this is the thing. It's one thing to overcome a 20-point deficit. It's another thing to do it with relative ease. Like, we're not worried. We're the superior team to the Lakers. They bully ball everybody else because they're bigger than most teams in the league. They're not bigger than us. We're not worried. And they came and just took it. And remember, 20-point lead, and in the span of 10 minutes, it was gone. 10 minutes. They went up 20 in the second half, not the first half, the second half, and got to take it from them.
The problem these guys have had with it all morning long is that they let Jokic beat them. That Darvin Ham said, we're going to single him up and leave Anthony Davis out there, even when he's clearly worn down.
Right.
Do you think they should have done everything in their power to take Jokic out of the game?
The brilliance of me is that I know I'm not. They are.
Right. Mm.
And I just steal knowledge from them.
Yeah.
If that's what they say, we're going to go with that. I don't think that you should single cover. You can single cover Jokic. You shouldn't do that. That's not something you should do. I mean, clearly. But the flip side to it is this. Denver can shoot. Michael Porter can shoot. Jamal Murray can shoot. Even Gordon can make some open shots. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can make it.
1,000%.
And then they're going like this. Jokic's probably going to beat us from two. Those brothers will beat us from three. Okay, we might want to eat that. That's the only reason I can side with it, but I understand where these two guys are coming
from. And Monica has been on your side all morning long. Quick final word.
Wow, what a series by the Knicks.
As good as it gets.
I'll see you shortly.
Why isn't it an hour?
Talk to JD.
An hour.
5 minutes and 40 seconds from now, Stephen A. and company with, thank you for rushing in here. Stephen A. hurried up to get in here for us for a few minutes. Stephen A., no one happier this morning. First Take has you covered from every angle, top of the hour here on ESPN.
That boy is a fool.
He made it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We got hockey tonight, first round action, four game twos, Caps Rangers, followed by Avs Jets. On ESPN2, we got Lightning Panthers, and that's followed by the Predators and Canucks. Coverage starts with the point 6 Eastern. Okay, quickly, before we run for the day, we got three more NBA games tonight. Suns, T-Wolves game two. Who wins?
I'm going to go T-Wolves because of their physicality.
I'm going Suns to even it up.
Even that series? We haven't had a road team win a game yet. Mavs, Clippers game two.
I'm going to go with the Mavs to wake up. I think the Mavs set the tone from the beginning.
Big time. They got a lot to wake up from.
Yes. See what happens with Kawhi. Pacers, Bucks game two.
I'm going to go with the Pacers actually to respond the way they looked in the second half.
Bucks. Pacers defense is a problem for me.
What a night it was. We look forward to plenty more. We'll see you back in tomorrow. First Take now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.